Luke 4:18. Everything okay up here? Praise the Lord. Luke 4:18. Praise your Father. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for allowing us to be here tonight to share and partake in your word. Lord, touch our hearts deeply. Move upon us, Lord, and teach us. Inspire us, convict us. Whatever it takes, Lord, for us to fulfill the very reason why we breathe, the very reason why we are alive. Tonight we anticipate it, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Here in Luke 4:18 it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Here we have the reason, or the very purpose, part of the purpose, I should say, that Christ was walking the face of the earth. This is what he did when he came. The Bible tells us to follow him. Amen. To walk in his footsteps. What his purpose was and is still our purpose. Here we're talking about sinners. He said he didn't come to save the righteous, but to save that which is lost. So we're talking about sinners here. Usually, when self-righteous Christians talk about sinners, or the wicked people, the evil people, so many times we look at what is evil and what is wicked in a carnal way, in a very unspiritual way. Christians look at sinners and they say, "Ooh, look at that prostitute. Do you know what our neighbor was doing? Do you know what? Jesus came to heal bruised people and broken hearts." Tonight I'm going to share with you how can you let God heal your broken heart? How can you let God heal the hurt that you have within you? Because you see, that is exactly what's wrong with this world, is that this world has been hurt. People have been hurt. When he came to deal with the sinner, he didn't come to self-righteously judge the sinner, scorn the sinner, and say, "Ooh, what terrible people. We got an alcoholic that lives across the street. Ooh, isn't it disgusting that young man's on drugs? He's a real juvenile delinquent. Look at that girl with the expanded belly. You know, isn't it terrible? Oh, she must be a nasty girl." Christ looked at it as people who were in captivity, people who had been bruised, people who had had broken hearts. Isn't it different than what we see? I believe maybe we're more in this church, we're maturing more in this. But if I look back in my life, I have to say that I looked upon people who were sinners as the Pharisees did. The people who are the religious establishment condemning. But Christ came with a broken heart, concern and compassion. He saw these people as people who were hurting. It makes a difference. Because if you see the people in the world as terrible people, then you will not be able to help them. They are victims. They're victims, you see. And he came to heal these victims. Amen? We need to remember this when we're working within relationships within this church and we are exposed to each other's rough side. When we are exposed to each other's faults and attitudes and character flaws, that we should see each other as people who are expressing hurt one to another. Because they have hurt inside to share. Amen. They are victims of a spiritual war. If we'll see people this way within the church, our spouses this way, our children this way, not as juvenile delinquents, not as parents that don't love us and are mean and hateful, but see each other in the light of the Scripture, see each other as victims of a spiritual war, then we'll have much more tolerance for each other and patience, amen? Now we're talking about Jesus coming to heal the broken heart, the bruised soul. We need to learn how to do this. We need to learn how to heal the broken heart in Christ. Only Christ can do that. But I think we must start with ourselves. How can we heal a broken heart if we have not been healed of our own broken heart, or if we're not in the process of being healed? We don't have to be perfect to minister to someone else. But we do need to have some light. If I am distorted by my own hurts, if I am distorted by my own bruises, spiritual bruises, then I will be distorted in how to help the other person and how to even see that person. So tonight, we will talk about how can you allow Christ to heal your broken heart, your scarred soul. How many would say that you have a scarred soul? A broken heart. Amen. Number one, in order to heal from the hurts of the past, you must break the chains that hold you to that hurt. People are hurt by someone else, if it be a parent or a friend or an enemy. The hurt of that person, and it hurts them so badly, they feel so devaluated by the way they're treated. They feel so challenged. Their self-image is so damaged by that hurt. That's what happens when someone hurts someone else. So many times, it scars your self-image. You think, wow, I must be nothing to this person for them to treat me this way. I must be trash. It encourages a low self-image. So we've got to break the chains to that, because here's what happens. Someone hurts us 20 years ago, and we can't get over it, and we allow that person to continue hurting us for the rest of our lives. They hurt us once, or one period of time, but we suffer for the rest of our lives because we won't let go of the hurt. And so we're continuously reliving that hurt over and over again. If the person really hurts you so badly, maybe even intentionally, maybe you're saying, oh, I hate this person because they hurt me so bad, then why are you a knife in their hand to continuously stab yourself over and over again? Because every time you relive that hurt, then you allow that person to hurt you again. Is that what you want? We've got to break the chains. Why do we hold on to hurt? Why can't we get over this hurt? What is it about it when someone hurts you that you hold on to it? Well, I believe a lot of times it's because we have fears within ourselves about ourselves. We fear that maybe we're not worth much. We fear that maybe we are inadequate. Maybe we are unworthy. Maybe we are defiled. We have a fear about ourselves, and that person has touched that fear. That person has brought a challenge, a threat to that fear. And so it hurts much more than what it normally would. Another reason why we don't let go of that hurt is because so many times we don't want to let that other person off the hook. We're going to stay mad at them, because if we forgive them, we're letting them off the hook. They got off scot-free. And so we keep a grudge, thinking we're hurting them and we're only hurting ourselves. Amen. So many times in our subconscious minds, if we forgive someone else and let them off the hook, we think, well, that's accepting the fact that they were right. Amen. That maybe we deserved what we got. These are reasons why people don't let the people off the hook. What is the answer to a hurt that keeps an open wound bleeding within your heart and soul? God expresses the answer in a word called forgiveness. We've got to learn to forgive. Forgiveness is not based on the other person's merit. It's not based on the other person's character or anything else. I forgive within my heart anyone that's ever hurt me because of my own character, not because of them. I don't forgive because they deserve it. I don't forgive because they asked for it. Now, we're talking about different kinds of forgiveness. As far as reinstatement and things, just don't get into that. It takes repentance and such. But I'm talking about pure forgiveness within my own heart. Something maybe they'll never know. I forgive everyone that's ever hurt me. That's why I can't remember hurt very easily. I just can't remember being hurt. People say, well, remember this, remember that. I don't remember these things. Because I have forgiven. Because it's a part of my character to forgive. Draw upon your own character. Forgive because you're something. Don't forgive them because they become something. I forgive for my own good. You see? So that I can, don't have to relive that hurt and that bitterness. Learn to forgive because you're just that type of person. It's pure grace. You can also forgive. I'm giving you reasons why how you can bring about forgiveness in your heart. One, it's because your own character. That's A. B, it's because everyone was born into sin. No one was born with the attitude, I choose to sin. The person that hurt you was born into sin. They didn't ask to be. They had things happen to them throughout their life that has helped shape their crippled soul. They did not ask to be an offender. Everyone has a degree of innocence in this. Everyone is to a degree a victim. The criminal is a victim. Keep in mind that something has happened to them in this life to encourage their hurtful attitude. It helps you forgive a person if you realize that somewhere down the line they were innocent, that they inherited a sinful nature. And it's not totally their fault. Another reason why to forgive when you feel like you cannot forgive is because, you see, Jesus Christ, who I care about from the very bottom of my heart, Jesus Christ, who I can stand up here and talk to hours about, the beauty of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the price he paid, the hurt he endured, the scorn, the sin he became, the guilt that he bore, Jesus Christ died for that person's sin. And the Bible teaches us who can lay anything to a person's charge. Romans 8:33. Who can lay anything to a person's charge? Listen, he died for their sin. I am not going to keep a grudge or a case against that person when God has dropped all charges. When Jesus Christ has died for that sin and he has said not guilty, I am not going to stand in the face of Christ and say, wait, he's guilty. He hurt me or she hurt me. How dare us stand in the face of Christ? How dare we stand in his blood, trodden the blood under our feet by saying that blood does not cover that person's sin against me. Jesus Christ died for every sin, and I am not going to be above him and hold that sin to that person's charge. How about you? Number two, resist the tendency to turn to quick fixes for your problem, for your hurt, for your wound. We have wounds. They develop in the insecurities. We hurt on the inside, don't we? We are driven by invisible forces to do wrong. We have urges to have bad attitudes. We have urges to go out and sin, to find a quick lover to relieve the stress, to relieve the frustration, to meet the needs of self-esteem. We have a desire to find a quick fix to the pain that we all suffer from. But you see, a quick fix will leave you in worse condition than if you take the right way and take time to get real healing. Don't go and get a quick fix. It will hurt you more. You'll come out of this thing much more wounded and hurt if you run to sin because you feel hurt on the inside. You feel lonely? Then solve the problem at the core. You feel lonely? Don't run to someone's arms. Get on your knees before Christ. Get a healing from a broken heart, and you will cease to feel as lonely. Amen? Quick fixes will only distract and slow down your growth and your healing. Amen? Number three, don't feed your hurt by thinking on it. Don't think about how people have hurt you. Don't think about the wounds that you bear. Every time we think about the hurt that we have endured, every time we think of how that person hurt me or how that circumstances was not fair, every time we think those negative thoughts, we feed the wound. It's like taking a salt and rubbing it into a bare wound. It's like feeding a wound, you know, dirt, infection. No, let's don't feed that wound infection. Let's think upon things that will bring healing to our mind and heart. Amen. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4 to think upon those things that are true, those things that are honest and just and lovely and of a good report. In Colossians chapter 3, it says think upon those things above. Don't think upon these things below. Don't focus upon the hurt that you've endured. Romans 8:6 says, if you're carnally minded, that you experience death, but if you're spiritual minded, you experience life and peace. And it's not spiritual mindedness to think upon evil, hurt, unforgiveness. It's spiritual minded to think upon honest things, good things, pure things, forgiveness. Amen? Fight these thoughts with truth. Fight this attack against your mind with the truth of God's Scripture. Amen? Number four. Ephesians 4:16 says that in a church there's many joints and many members, and these members will give you healing. Each joint will supply something to you and bring about a healing within your heart and mind and soul. Allow others to be a part of your healing. God will bring about healing through other people. We don't want to open our heart back up because we've been hurt too bad, amen? We don't want to trust anybody ever again because they have betrayed our trust. We don't want to bring the walls down because we feel secure behind these insecure walls, these fears that keep us away from people, away from trying. You've got to learn to trust people. You can trust people if you trust God, because trust doesn't depend upon the outcome. Trusting a person does not depend on the outcome of that trust. If I trust that Gerald will not trip me right now, if he tripped me, that does not betray my trust. Because my true trust is in God, that he will take care of me in whatever takes place. I trust Gerald, and I can take a chance, because I'm not afraid of the outcome. My faith and trust does not depend upon the short-range outcome. It's dependent on my faith in God and his faithfulness, his all-knowing wisdom for my life. Everyone needs a support unit. They need to feel supported. They need people to say, hey, your hair is messed up. You need to comb it in a nice way. They need to say, hey, you know, we love you. We care. We forgive. It's all right. Unconditionally. We need to say, hey, that's not right. It's wrong. People who love will say all of these things. Amen. No, thank you. I won't partake of that. That's not right. Yes, let's go. We'll work together. Support. But you need to choose your support group carefully. Because you see, I don't want to choose a bunch of wolves to be my support group. I trust you. There goes one arm. I trust you. There goes two arms. I really trust you. There goes my legs. I trust you. There goes my heart. You know? Now, that doesn't mean that our support group will be unhurtful. They'll be hurt. But if you choose the right group, we will endure that hurt together. We will learn in that hurt. We will grow in that hurt. And we'll learn how not to hurt. Amen? Number five. Change your wounded perspective of life. Your perception of life. Your wounded perception or perspective. How you see things, how you view people, how you analyze life, how you size up people. If you are sizing people up through your own hurts and experiences, you are going to make terrible mistakes in how you read people. You are going to continuously experience new hurt to your wound because you see things from a carnal, worldly point of view. You see things from fear. You see people through your own desire, your own selfishness, your own distortion. Listen, we need to see people in the light of God's truth, in the light of God's wisdom. Like I said earlier, God sees a wicked person as someone hurting. The word actually means in the Greek, hurting, hurtful. A person that's hurting will become hurtful. Wickedness is a hurting person. The word evil means devalued, worthless. A person who is evil has lost their value. They become invaluable or unvaluable. If I see that, I can understand a person better. Amen? The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, to restore them that have fallen aside with meekness and love. And that's how we should see. We should look in the scriptures and see how to see everything around. How do we see the world? How do we see people? How do we see their mistakes? See it in the light of the scripture. Judge all things by God's scripture, not with a distorted self-judgment. When you see someone that's doing something that bothers you, cannot you look to the scripture and see how God sees that person? We should do that every time. Don't allow yourselves the luxury of seeing things your own way. All you're asking for is a life of misery, a life of frustration and failure if you persist in seeing things your own way. You know that person. You've got them figured out. Well, if you do, you're in trouble. You need to let the Bible be the judge. Let the Bible be the glasses that you look through, the microscope. Amen? Remember this. It's not people that we are in combat with. It's not the people who seem to hurt you that are hurting you. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 12, I believe, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not people you're dealing with. It's not your husband, your wife, your children, your parents. It's not the cops, the robbers, the politicians. It's none of these things. It's the spirit world. It's Satan. Stop seeing people as the origin of your hurt. It doesn't come from people. It originated in the spirit world. People are victims, and they are just sharing their hurt, their tragedy, with others. Amen? Number six, last but not least. In the physical world, when you have physical hurt, the doctor prescribes therapy, physical therapy. He says exercise. If you have been damaged, your legs have been damaged in a wreck, the doctor says exercise your legs. Usually very carefully, though. If you have lost strength, exercise to gain strength. Spiritually, if you have been hurt, you have been damaged, you have been wounded, then exercise your spiritual muscles. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 talks about exercising your senses. How do you exercise your spiritual muscle to give you strength and help you recover from the wounds that you've experienced? Well, you go on the offensive. You reach out to someone else. You touch someone else. You reach out to heal that broken heart, that scarred soul that someone else has. You reach out and help somebody else. You take your eyes off yourself and you look to someone else to make a difference in their life. That's exercising your spiritual side. And as you exercise your spiritual side, your wounds will be healed. Your scars will be healed. But if you stay there, if you stand in life or set in life and just cry about your wounds and you say, I don't want to get up, I hurt too much. Have you ever seen people like that? That suffered some kind of physical problem and they can't get them out of bed? Namira, you're something, R-E-N-C-N, P-N, you're something, I don't know what you are, but you are something that knows something about something. But if a person lays too long, do they have a problem? They have to move it around, get them up and walk. When I had my operation for a hernia, that crazy nurse got me out of bed within a number of hours and said, walk. I said, what did I ever do to you? Why are you punishing me for? I thought this was a hospital, not a torture chamber, you know. Walk, and I walk like this, you know. And that's what God says. Stop laying in bed and crying in your wound. Walk. Except God is not like that crazy nurse, that tormenting nurse. I mean, she looked like she was a vampire or something, coming in there and said, walk. God doesn't say that to me. He says, run, leap, jump. Amen. Now, you know all about that, Lola. You've had your little operation on the back. God says, leap, stand up and walk, and you shall be healed. Silver and gold have I none. Amen. All I've got for you is a bunch of healing. Get up, walk. And that man was laying there, he was a cripple. Wait a minute now. I'll just take a little silver and gold. You know, get up, walk. I can't. I'm a cripple. He said, come on, get up. And that guy, he got up and he leaped. And he leaped and he leaped and he was healed. Spiritual victims, come on. Get out of your carnal beds, I'm sorry. Get out of your carnal beds. Come on. Walk, run, and leap. Amen. Exercise yourselves in righteousness, and you shall recover. Praise God. Amen. Go ahead. Really meditate upon these points, though. I really believe God's given us 6 points that can really help you have a healed heart if you practice these. Bury them in your heart. Think about them. And I believe we will see more spiritual healing in our lives. Amen? Anybody have any questions, comments, or discussion? Yes, Larry. You've been here almost every service here for a while. I appreciate you. Father, we give you praise again. We thank you. We just appreciate what you're doing. We just want you to dig deep. We want you to clean us out. We want you to anoint us with your beautiful, wonderful life. And help us, Lord, give life to others. Protect us. Cause us to be strong in the face of our adversaries. In Jesus' name, amen. Quickly, and we'll have this meeting. Leave this on.